I've probably said this a million times, if not a million close to it. The Sea of Galilee is an amazing place. The crystal clear blue green water is like no place I've ever seen. The flowers and the bushes are just incredible as well. The colors of the sea and the flowers and the terrains are absolutely beautiful. It's really so marvelous to see all the places in the New Testament and some in the Old Testament as well. It truly makes the Bible come to life. At the Sea of Galilee, Jesus meets two sets of brothers, our beloved Andrew and his brother Peter, and then the sons of Zebedee, known as the sons of thunder, James and John. These four men are fishermen using large nets from their boats. Jesus commands them to leave everything behind and follow him, and he will make them fishers of men. Their lives would be transformed, a transformation from fishermen to shepherds. There we see the great difference between catching and keeping, and that's the difference between a fisherman and a shepherd. This transformation would take the better part of 3 years to start and then continue throughout their ministries until the end of their lives. Jesus expected them to give up everything just to follow him, setting aside their own goals and pleasures and grasping onto the purposes for which God Almighty had created them in the first place. Like these amazing apostles, each of us has a purpose. And God knows what that purpose is, and unless we ask him what that purpose is, we will struggle. Please understand that following Jesus is setting aside our old goals and pleasures and grasping on to God's purposes and his goals. It's important for us to know him personally and to help spread his gospel to others, teaching them all of Christ's commands. All of those who truly follow Christ will have to exchange their own priorities for his. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, their goal in life was to be successful fishermen. In asking for them to forsake that goal, he commanded them to follow him, and he would make them fishers for men's souls. Jesus didn't simply command his disciples to become fishers of men, but instead he promised to make them fishers of men. He was going to do it for them, and as some translations might say, fishers of people. Jesus doesn't just hit a switch and suddenly there's something. He transforms us, he carries us, and he nurtures us, just like he did with these apostles. These fishermen were hardworking men. I don't think that they would have worked like an 8-hour day. Their day began and didn't end until the boat was full. A lot of hardworking people in the church are like that too. Each one of us works to glorify God and to earn our payday so that we can continue to live and continue to give to him. Their fishing was not for pleasure, not by any means. When you go to work, do you go to work for pleasure? Think about that for a second. You may get some pleasure in what you're doing, but it's not why you go. They caught fish with nets, and their best fishing took place at night. Have you ever worked the night shift? I did. It turns your day upside down. When I first began at radio, I worked from midnight to 6. At the same time, I was student teaching. Think about that for a second. Your day just doesn't end, and neither does the night. The days were short, and the nights were long. And that's what these fishermen's lives were like. And besides that, they had families to attend to. They caught fish with nets at night. Now, if you just look, and you don't have to do it now, but at Luke chapter 5, verse 5, when Jesus told Peter to cast his nets on the other side of the boat, Peter said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Well, how do they fish at night? They used a very powerful and effective method of attracting fish: light. They had torches. Fish are attracted to light. Jesus, who's the light of the world, draws people to himself by the light as well. And John tells us that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's John chapter 8, verse 12. There's no difference between night or day to God. God's light attracted people, just as fish are attracted to the disciples' light. God uses his people by letting his light shine through them to attract them. The light of every believer is the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives, and what he has done for us. You know, each one of us has a story to tell of how God has grabbed us and cleaned us up and brought us to himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Just think of how you were before Jesus got a hold of you. Think about that for a second. We all there have a story to tell as well. We all look pretty good on a Sunday morning, but we look differently before Jesus found us. The light of every believer is the light of our Lord Jesus Christ shining through in our lives, in the things we think, do, and say. And Jesus told us so himself in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, when he said, "Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." All we need to do is invite him in, and that light is there. Now, for these men, following Jesus required complete and immediate disconnection from everything else. Peter and Andrew walked away from their occupation. James and John left their father, suggesting that following Christ takes priority even over being physically with our family. The requirements for following Jesus are not the same for each and every person. For some, it means leaving their current occupations to follow him. For others, it means a willingness to leave family connections and being close to a family. My wife and kids, I know what both of these are like, as we were transplanted from occupations and family as well to serve Jesus in his church. For everyone, it's a willingness to exchange their affections, connections, goals, and priorities for those of Jesus. So I got to ask you a personal question today. What is it that floats your boat? Or, can I put it another way, what is it that makes your motor run? Yeah, think about that. What is it that turns you on and keeps you going, motivates you? Is it doing a good job painting? Can be, especially when you might look at something that you've painted. Maybe you helped to paint the sanctuary at one time and say, "I painted that." Is it setting the altar, if you're in the altar guild? Is it playing music at church? Is it serving on the vestry? Is it loving your family intensely? Now, those can all be done at the same time. Think about that. Is it being a great mom, daddy, grandma, or granddaddy? Is it taking care of some animals? Can be. It all takes a lot of hard work. What floats your boat? Is Christ in the boat with you? That's the most important question I have to ask you today. I sure hope so. So what's the single most important thing that we can do as Christians? May I suggest to you today that while you're floating your boat, you should be thinking about sharing the truth, the love of Jesus Christ in your life with your friends and your family. Don't leave them out of the equation. Do you want to be with them for all eternity? Or do you want some of them to not be there? Make sure they know. It should be a priority in our lives to make sure they know and love Jesus too. There have been times in the life of every Christian when they recognize that the greatest thing that they can do in this life was to introduce someone else to Jesus Christ. Please understand, we don't do the saving. We can't. It's the Holy Spirit who saves. We make the introduction. I've asked this question before. When you plant a seed, do you make it grow? Wesley and I have had discussions about this. And he said, no. You can fertilize it, you can water it, you can do everything you can, but you don't make it grow. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it grow. Do you make your children grow? No. Some people in the pews might say, well, it's Mother Nature. That's another discussion for another day. God makes your children grow. Can you help them to grow to be the best people possible? You bet. That's your responsibility. It chomps me at the bit when I hear preachers and evangelists saying, well, I brought 40 people to Christ. You introduced 40 people to Christ, but you didn't save them. You can't save one person. We don't, and we cannot do the saving. But we can be like our dear brother, St. Andrew, who introduced his brother Peter, and it transformed Peter's life. Just by introducing him to Jesus. And we can introduce our family and friends. We can introduce our children to him as well. Praying with them before meals at the table. Telling them Bible stories. Reading the Bible together. Have you ever really stopped to realize that Jesus wants you to be someone whose heart is moved to reach out to other people who are lost, who are around you? And that might be what makes your boat float. Are you willing to lay aside your personal ambition and plans in order to fully follow Christ? That does not mean that you have to become ordained or you have to go to seminary. No. Are you ready to reflect the light of Christ in your life to those around you, in your words and your actions? That's what counts. Are you ready to look for and take opportunities to share with others what Jesus has done for you in your life? Just be as good as you can be and let people see how Christ is with you in your life. The risen Jesus met with his disciples on a mountain in Galilee, and we know it was before they all headed back to Jerusalem, where from the Mount of Olives, they would witness him ascend to the Father. He told the disciples that he was given all authority on heaven and on earth. And so he commissions believers, you and me too, with these words, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Besides telling us to go and do on his behalf, he's also telling us that we're not doing it alone. He said to us and gives us great comfort by what he said right at the end. He said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's here among us this morning. His Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, and we share his love, his gospel, and his commands to others. We're not alone. He is and always will be with us. We are never alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.